Harry said nothing. Hermione's words opened up a whole new vista of frightening possibilities. He tried to imagine going somewhere with Cho, Hogsmeade perhaps, and being alone with her for hours at a time. Of course, she would have been expecting him to ask her out after what had just happened. The thought made his stomach clench painfully. "Oh, well," said Hermione distantly, buried in her letter once more. "You'll have plenty of opportunities to ask her." "What if he doesn't want to ask her?" said Ron, who had been watching Harry with an unusually shrewd expression on his face. "Don't be silly," said Hermione vaguely. "Harry's liked her for ages, haven't you, Harry?" He did not answer. Yes, he had liked Cho for ages, but whenever he had imagined a scene involving the two of them, it had always featured a Cho who was enjoying herself, as opposed to a Cho who was sobbing uncontrollably into his shoulder. "Who are you writing the novel to, anyway?" Ron asked Hermione, trying to read the bit of parchment now trailing on the floor. Hermione hitched it up out of sight.
"Victor." "Crumb? How many other Victors do we know?"
Ron said nothing but looked disgruntled. They sat in silence for another 20 minutes, Ron finishing his transfiguration essay with many snorts of impatience and crossings out, Hermione writing steadily to the very end of the parchment, rolling it up carefully and sealing it, and Harry staring into the fire, wishing more than anything that Sirius's head would appear there and give him some advice about girls. But the fire merely crackled lower and lower, until the red-hot embers crumbled into ash, and, looking around, Harry saw that they were, yet again, the last in the common room.
"Well, night," said Hermione, yawning widely, and she set off up the girls' staircase. "What is she seeing, Crumb?"
Ron demanded as he and Harry climbed the boys' stairs.
"Well," said Harry, considering the matter, "I suppose he's older, isn't he? And he's an international Quidditch player." "Yeah, but apart from that," said Ron, sounding aggravated, "I mean, he's a grouchy git, isn't he?"
"Bit grouchy, yeah," said Harry, whose thoughts were still on Cho. They pulled off their robes and put on pajamas in silence. Dean, Seamus, and Neville were already asleep. Harry put his glasses on his bedside table and got into bed, but did not pull the hangings closed around his four-poster. Instead, he stared at the patch of starry sky visible through the window next to Neville's bed. If he had known this time last night that in 24 hours' time he would have kissed Cho Chang.
"Night,"
grunted Ron from somewhere to his right.
"Night," said Harry.
Maybe next time, if there was a next time, she'd be a bit happier. He ought to have asked her out. She had probably been expecting it and was now really angry with him. Or was she lying in bed still crying about Cedric? He did not know what to think. Hermione's explanation had made it all seem more complicated rather than easier to understand.
"That's what they should teach us here," he thought, turning over onto his side. "How girls' brains work.
It'd be more useful than divination, anyway." Neville snuffled in his sleep. An owl hooted somewhere out in the night.